Hello, everyone. My name is Oscar. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to tell you a little bit about me and what I do. And this story is going to be about joy. And I think what I'm going to cover is what episodes of joy I've had or experiences of joy I had that were more impactful in my life. So I would like to start introducing or telling you a bit more who I am and what I do. I am a material scientist, and as an engineer, I always find myself trying to quantify things or see things as processes, what are the inputs and outputs. And when I was reading on trying to understand about joy, it was kind of difficult to me because to me it's more like something, if you want to call it philosophical or something very, I think difficult to describe to me, but I certainly felt it in different stages of my life or phases in my life. The way that I ended up defining joy personally was, it's a good feeling in my soul, and it's something that it was just coming out from me, more like an output without inputs, I would say. So if I want to divide my life in different phases, I would say, was my life in Lima, living in the 80s and the 90s, my life in college in Lima, and then my life as a grad student in Chicago, and the last phases as a dad and husband here in Goshen, Indiana. I remember my times growing in the 80s, in a very difficult times in Lima, Peru, where the political environment was pretty bad, 2,000% inflation on top of terrorism. And I still remember at night car bombs going off, and those car bombs led to some blackouts in the whole neighborhood or in the city, actually. But I still remember gathering with my family on the table all around this little candle and experiencing joy, listening to my mom telling us stories and before we go into bed. And I don't know, at the time when I think about that, I do feel that it was experiences of joy. And again, those were the impactful experiences of joy that I had when I was growing up in the 80s. Later on, when I went to college, or to rather high school or primary school, I went to the public schools in Lima, and those where the education is not the best, I would say. So I had a hard time entering college. And so after working really hard, I got to enter to this one of the best colleges in Lima. And the ways that I experienced joy anywhere that were impactful in my life were when I had access to these beautiful labs studying mechanical engineering in Lima, or joining this group of people that were as, I would say, committed, but also inspired to learn and understand better or take the most out of school. I felt a lot of good feelings during those times, being with, I would say, I was privileged to go to that school. When I was finishing college, I had also the chance to work as a junior engineer in the middle of the jungle, almost in areas of the jungles that people never actually stepped on, and where these companies were drilling and sort of building these oil reservoirs in the middle of the jungle. But I remember traveling on the back of a pickup truck, 6 a.m, where I was able to breathe this air of the jungle and listening to these bugs, but also these creatures, and thinking, Santa's just silent, just thinking, wow, this is amazing. So, moments that I remember now when I was putting together this story that were definitely good feelings that were coming out of my soul. The phase of my life when I came to this country back in 2006, It was pretty hard times adapting myself to living in the United States. I had never left Peru until 2006. I had never had flown in an airplane before coming to the U.S. So it was, to me, all these experiences were new. But seeing the snow for the first time and white particles coming out of this, that was to me an experience, or rather, joy. Now that I think more about the definition about joy. I also felt a lot of joy when I was playing soccer on this beautiful field outdoors, and I saw the Sears Towers from the field back in the University of Illinois in Chicago, and just standing out there while we were all getting ready to start playing soccer, I just found myself stepping there and looking at Sears Towers and feeling pretty happy. But I guess it was more joy what I felt. Later, going more in depth in grad school, and until now, what I find a lot of joy is in science. I remember the first time that I started looking at the materials and metals on the electron microscope, transmission electron microscope, or able to understand why these metals are very good corrosion resistant, or why this material is so good at heat resistant, at very high temperatures. Understanding how these atoms actually interact and are so good to withstand corrosion, and seeing the atoms in the microscope, to me, it was very joyful, I would say. So now, as a dad and a husband, I certainly find joy looking at my kids, Asaya playing with Julian and Harmony. It was not the same a year ago, but I can actually contemplate and see him playing, and I feel a lot of joy. Still also at work, I feel a lot of joy when I see a new technology that we can use to manufacture orthopedic implants, and I get very excited about the things, but when I get to understand the technology, I feel a lot of joy. I feel this good feeling in my soul. The way that I will wrap up this story, I guess, and it's something that I noticed when I was putting together this, is that in all of these moments that were really impactful and that I remember very well, I noticed that something was common in all of those, and it was that I was really present, completely present in those moments, and engaged with what I was doing at that time. And this is currently something that I am working really hard to do, and it's not easy being present. I'm always thinking about the past and the future, what I'm going to have to do next month or next year, and I find myself dwelling on those without being present, enjoying my kids at that time, or whatever I'm doing at that time that otherwise can be joyful. Yeah, exactly. I guess that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Good morning. So when Kathy and I were in college, soon after we were married, we stumbled on this little church called Assembly. Stumbled might not be the right word. Since Kathy's parents were here, we had many friends that had attended. So maybe it's more accurate to say we stumbled into church, and of course it was assembly. There were many things to like: a progressive theology, conflict with conferences, and awkward Carnival Sunday. We appreciated the smaller congregation and the fact that intentional small groups were woven into its fabric. After a stint back home, like so many others, we moved back to Goshen. We heard the siren call of the spot in Indiana where the leafy maple grows. 5 years, we said. And then we'll reevaluate our life direction. In year 7, I remember a conversation that went something like this. So, I guess we're staying in Goshen then. Yep. But that's the way things happen. We get complacent in life. We take our town for granted. We get up, we go to work every day. We go to church on Sunday. Life is good. And we keep living it because it's easy. I'm happy, by which I mean I'm not sad, I'm not suffering. Into that complacency comes new hope. In late 2009, we heard a little heartbeat that changed our world. Our daughter Ellie immediately changed our perspective. That little tiny life was ours. We would have to care for her, keep her safe and fed and happy. As many of you know, this part of the story doesn't have a happy ending. Ellie was born on July 20th, 2010, with pulmonary hypoplasia, which meant she couldn't breathe after she was born. The joy of a firstborn came crashing down. Someone at the time, I think it might have been Carl, said this would be the hardest thing I would ever have to go through. At the time, I couldn't really appreciate that. The sorrow was all-encompassing. There was no perspective. There was no other time, past or present. For several weeks, maybe months, there was only the moment. Get through today. Get through now. One foot in front of the other. That experience taught me 3 life lessons I'm going to share with you today. Mindfulness, hyper-awareness of the moment, and also a calming of the mind, is booming in popular culture, and even in children's time, Sunday mornings. Stop. Look at something. Think about that thing. Science is showing that it can lower cortisol levels, blood pressure, and affect other brain chemicals. In other words, it can increase happiness, or maybe even joy. People can enjoy life more when they take the time to just be. I wouldn't say that mindfulness made me happier after Ellie died, but I did find myself unintentionally using it to make it through the day. It provided a space to begin to heal. I could find the briefest respite of peace in that one moment. 2, love is the greatest of these. Kathy and I wrote poems for Ellie's memorial service. One of mine ended with the line, "I did not expect to plumb the depths of love and find the vastness of the seas." Many things are zero sum. If I have 5 apples, I can share those 5 apples with 5 friends, and then I have no apples. If love were 5 apples, I could share them with 5 friends, and I would still have 5. What I discovered with Ellie is that love is definitely not zero sum. And its growth is not always linear. It can be exponential. It can be whatever's beyond exponential. Landon would brazenly call it Google, as if that were the largest thing ever. This growth is what I mean by the vastness of the seas. I was still thinking love had small growth, when it turned out that Google growth is mind-boggling. I also wrote, "Most of all, she taught me about love. The gaping hole she left in my heart has become a picture window, showing the immense love shared not only with Ellie, but with the many people I love and who love me." Which brings me to my final lesson. Community is strong. Love does not happen in a vacuum. Community is the expression of love. The many people I love and who love me, that is community. Community is what drew us to assembly. Sure, it was easier when we were younger. The congregation was half the size. We walked to church uphill every Sunday, both ways. Although I would like to note, we did have parking lots back then. And community is what keeps us coming back to assembly. Kathy had a C-section for Ellie's birth, so we were in the hospital for several days after she died. Instead of waiting for us to come out, for us to be done at the hospital, many of you wanted to come sooner and to meet Ellie. So you brought calling hours to us. The hospital was gracious enough to host a calling hours on the Circle of Caring floor. You came up to share condolences, to give us hugs, and offer support. And you have no idea what this meant to us. Our small group was integral to our support throughout that entire experience. The smaller community within the larger community became deep friendships through shared experience and much needed support. And it is that web of friendships that creates this community. A recent study by Chae-Yoon Lim at the University of Wisconsin found that it is not just attending church that makes people happy, but attending church and developing friendships there. He found that 19% of churchgoers with no close friends reported satisfaction in life, whereas churchgoers that did develop friendships were 33% satisfied. He said, "It is not going to church and listening to sermons or even stories that makes people happier, but making church-based friends and building intimate social networks there." So today I encourage you to build joy by living in the moment, loving with the vastness of the seas, and building friendships around you.